Time to bring in our man Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com. Jake, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
You sound like you might be on the road this morning.
I am. I'm running a few errands this morning, took the kid to school. Gotta get it all done in the daytime before all the commits and the practices and everything like that happens in the afternoon. Athens is an afternoon town these days.
No doubt. Well, good to hear from you. And as we were saying just a moment ago, through the power of the World Wide Web, still have a bunch of people checking us out, and I know want to hear all your thoughts. We're 17 days away from Georgia opening the season. The Dogs finally get Isaiah Wynn back to practice at left tackle. Has that been a good thing, though, with him being out? Not necessarily him being out, but for the coaches to try and start figuring out what they want to have for their offensive line for that first game. And I know Andrew Thomas has looked good, and Isaiah Wilson has been moved inside. But what do you think's going on there? I know you don't get to see all of practice, but what do you think's happening there with the offensive line, and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think, just having a week of Isaiah Wynn missing, I think there's definitely a silver lining you can find there. Kirby's mentioned it a couple times. It caused them to move some things around. Right now we've got, Isaiah Wynn at left tackle and Pat Allen back at left guard, Lamont Gilliard at center, Solomon Kinley there at right guard, with Kendall Baker getting some first team reps yesterday while Kinley wasn't out there. I'm told he did return to practice, though. Must have had something go on, during the course of practice. And then Andrew Thomas at right tackle. One of the things, Dave, that I think about right now when I think about this offensive line, I've heard several people talk about how Kendall Baker had a tremendous scrimmage on Saturday. And last week we got some good reports on Ben Cleveland and how far he's come. Isaiah Wilson, unlimited potential. A guy like Dyshon Sims, jack of all trades, can play all the positions. Right now, I'm leaning towards the fact that Georgia may have about 9 to 10 linemen that can play this year. Now, does that mean that any of those first 5 or 7 or whatever are going to be dominant guys? I doubt it. Solomon Kinley's a really good run blocker. Isaiah Wilson's a really good pass blocker who's put on some weight and is going to be a better pass blocker. I mean, a better run blocker himself, but I do think there's a deep unit. I do think that they're getting the best out of these guys, and I think that they're going to start trimming the edges off this thing here in the next couple of weeks and starting to narrow things down and figure out who's going to play. And I know Kirby would absolutely love to, not just from a stress standpoint, but from a chance to see what these guys can do, to have a 3-score lead there in the fourth quarter against Appalachia State and to maybe get some of these guys some reps, because, like I said, I think they've got, 9-10 linemen they feel good about maybe being able to play, even if some of those guys are really young and you're maybe not dominant as a unit.
What do you think would be the number of guys they'd like to have in the rotation? Or is that hard to say?
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I mean, I think they would want, 8 to 10 guys who can play. I think once you start getting beyond that, it's tough to get guys reps and get them ready to play, get them into the game plan. But I do think that because you rep your ones and twos on the game plan pretty hard every week, probably, I don't know the exact percentage, but I from what I've gathered, I would say probably somewhere around 70-30. Your starters get about 70% of the game plan work, and your second stringers get about 30% of it. So I think that, obviously, 10 would probably be absolutely positively the limit and maybe even ideal at this point. But I do think that by game 4, 5, 6, they're going to start settling down on maybe 6, 7 offensive linemen that they're going to play every Saturday in meaningful minutes.
Talking with Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com.
Yeah, Jake, it's funny. I've been thinking about this for the past couple of days with just kind of discipline and the way that it's instituted throughout the SEC. And I bring this up because of Antonio Callaway and what's happened down at Florida. They're going to have a bunch of players suspended for that first game. And Jim McElwain alluded to the fact that Callaway's running out of chances. But, I mean, this guy's been in trouble multiple times, and it's just ridiculous to the point of how is this guy still on the team? And it really just seems like it's time for the SEC to start instituting uniform disciplinary measures as opposed to letting schools kind of do it on their own.
Yeah, I mean, I see that, and from an outside point of view, that is in the spirit of fairness. I will agree with that. I think that's fair. But I also think that hey, if you want to let these schools play with fire, let them play with fire. I mean, we've seen in the past programs have to deal with players like this, and it kind of bleeds throughout your culture, and other guys think that they can get away with it. You heard the stories about Urban Meyer as he was there at the end of his time at Florida. I really believe that this is a slippery slope, and I'm almost of the opinion, and I think, to be honest with you, I think I probably am, is, hey, let them try to navigate that slippery slope if they want to, but they do it at their own peril, and it's a thing that can really set your program back. It's a thing that can get you fired as a head coach. You know, if I'm the guy, and I know these guys tend to be the bad guys, you know, they tend to be the guys that you know, everybody hates, nobody loves, they do everything wrong. But the athletic directors are the ones that I think are the ones that they've got to kind of step in and figure this out. Now, do I think a kid after, you know, two pot offenses or, you know, two, you know, positive tests for marijuana should be kicked off the team? No. I mean, boys are going to be boys. Athletes are going to be athletes. College students are going to be college students. That's just the way it is. They're going to do things that you know, they're going to take some risks and you know, they're going to drink and they're going to have fun and you know, go the extra mile in terms of having fun. But I do think that when you're a guy like Antonio Callaway, that not only have you gotten in trouble, but you've gotten in trouble so many different ways at this point. You know, players see that. They see that, hey, Antonio did this. Why can't I go out and take a few chances tonight? And then next thing you know, you're dealing with three or four Antonio Callaways and then eight or nine Antonio Callaways. And then what? Your program's not in very good shape, especially not when you're suspending, you know, guys for games throughout the year just about every year.
Talking with Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com. So I guess we're assuming, and I know what happens when you assume, but Riley Ridley and Elijah Holyfield won't play in the first game for the Dogs. Is that okay?
I mean, thus far, Kirby's gone by that student handbook, and that student handbook says that there's a one-game suspension for that, you know, kind of the stuff that they dealt with this offseason. So I assume that, but, you know, we'll see. I we're not 100% sure on that. Kirby's not anything Kirby's announced, and it's probably, you know, the funny thing is unlike in the past where, you know, back in, I guess, 2012 when you had Bakari Rambo and the Alec Ogletree situation for the first four games, one game is not that big of a deal, so you're not constantly talking about it in the news. It's not constantly in the news. You know, he didn't announce Jonathan Ledbetter had a six-gamer last year either, but he ended up having a six-gamer. So, you know, and that was predicted by the student handbook. So I think that they probably are, but I also think that, you know, with it being a one-game thing, you're able to kind of keep it out of the news cycle, whereas if it were several games, it would be in there every week, and that works to Georgia's benefit with it being just a one-gamer.
I hear you. And I wanted to ask you about the recruiting news that the Dogs got last night. Good stuff from down in Fort Lauderdale. Elijah Moore, is this kind of the next Isaiah McKenzie-type receiver? He's not the kind of receiver that – Georgia is kind of starting to sign now, but is it still somebody they feel like they got to have that player like McKenzie?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, he's bigger. He's significantly bigger. I mean, you know, he's a legit 5'10 guy. I don't think he's five. I think he's listed 5'11. I don't think he's quite there. But if he's not 5'10, he's, you know, 5'9.5. He's not 5'7 like Isaiah McKenzie is. He's a bigger guy. I think, to me, he reminds me more of maybe a little bit smaller Terry Godwin type. Maybe a little bit faster, too. You know, athletically, just kind of the way he runs routes, he's really quick, can get in and out of his breaks. I like him a lot. I think he's a big-time playmaker. And he's very different than what Georgia signed in this past year's class. I mean, Georgia's going to want those small, quick slot receivers that can get open, you know, very quickly. And you know, big guys don't tend to be like that. You know, big guys are bigger targets. You can get your hands on them easier. A lot of folks think, well, a guy needs to be 6'3", 215 pounds to beat the jam, to beat press coverage. No, you need to be quick. You beat press coverage with your quick feet, your quick hands, and those are the kind of guys that can get open really quickly. And I think Georgia wants those type of players, but they also want some big bodies on the outside. And, you know, they've got two guys. I think they're probably going to sign two receivers in this class. I expect them to get Kiaris Jackson later this week, I think Saturday. And he's another guy. He's not very big. I mean, he's probably 5'11", 6 feet, very physical. a state champion in the shot put, and he's a very strong kid, but he's not a super big guy, and I think they're kind of looking for some smaller, speedier guys to get the ball to now and that can make plays. And then you look at next year's class where they've already got two wide receiver commitments, a couple of post 6 foot guys there, 6'4" Jadon Hazelton and 6'1" Dominic Blaylock. So it seems like they're going to kind of mix and match big and small receivers, guys that can be quick and make plays with the ball in their hands, and guys that can be wide open whenever they're, when they're in double coverage because their ability to go up and get the football.
You expecting bigger things from Georgia's receiving class this year?
I am. I really, really like, after hearing Kirby talk yesterday, really like Georgia's receiving corps, because I came into preseason practice. I know what Riley Ridley is as long as he's healthy, and that's an issue for him. He's got to stay healthy. He got hurt 3 times last year, so in 3 different injuries. So I think he's a guy that's got to stay healthy. But what Kirby had to say about Terry Godwin, about what he's doing on the inside and the outside, he really gushed over Terry Godwin yesterday and how good Terry has been this preseason. Like Javon Wims a lot, I think he's got a great deal of talent. You add in guys like Mark Webb, Jeremiah Holloman, Trey Blunt. I've always been high on Jason Stanley's ability. I mean, you don't find 6'3", 210-pound guys that can run like Jason Stanley can run. I mean, he's a burner. He's a track speed guy. And if he can catch the football consistently, if he can kind of break out of that sophomore slump, I don't know if folks remember this. Muhammad Massaquoi got booed off of Georgia's field.
Yeah.
As a sophomore for drops. So it's not like you drop balls in one season and you're done. I think Jason Stanley's a guy who can have a comeback. Michael Chigbu's another guy that's dealt with some drops, but has also caught some difficult passes in his career. You add Akeel Crumpton and Mecole Hardman in there. I mean, two guys that, Hardman's a game breaker, a guy to get the ball to as quickly as you can, and he can do some Isaiah McKenzie type stuff, maybe with a little bit more speed. And Crumpton's another guy that Kirby Smart said yesterday, blessing in disguise because of how much he's contributed at wide receiver. Catches the ball real well. He's a physical player. There are a lot of very good football players. They're not, you don't have that Calvin Ridley or a A.J. Green or Odell Beckham or anybody like that you just know that, hey, it's third down, or a Sammy Watkins, at Clemson, that you can just go to on third down and he's going to create some separation, and even if he doesn't, he's going to, out-compete somebody for the football right now. But you do know that you've got a lot of different guys you can get the ball to, and that kind of spreads the defense thin if you use it correctly.
Talking with Jake Rowe from 247 Sports and Dogs 247.
Jake, if you had to put a percentage on it, how close is Georgia to finalizing the rotations on the O-line, if close at all?
I would say 0%. I really do. I think this is still camp mode for them. I think after this scrimmage, you're going to start seeing some decisions being made. But I honestly believe that, it's okay. It's tough because Isaiah Wynn's going to play left tackle. Solomon McKinley's going to play right guard. And, barring a, Sean Fogarty going bananas at center, Lamont Gilliard's going to play center. So if you want to look at it from that point of view, we'll say 60% on the offensive line. But I do believe that in terms of, who's going to play and getting that number one offensive line settled and who's going to play behind those guys, I just don't think that they're anywhere close to making that decision yet. And I think it's because they're not allowing themselves to be there. They're coming at this thing with an open mind. They've showed that with 3 different lineups in 3 different weeks of camp. And I'm just interested to see when this scrimmage is over on Saturday, does Andrew Thomas hold on to his starting job? It looks like he's going to start 2 straight scrimmages with the offensive line with the first unit. Does he hang it right tackled, or do they like him at left guard better? Where's Ben Cleveland end up? Pat Allen, is he able to hang on there at left guard? He's gotten a little bigger, got a little stronger. Is Dyshon Sims going to be the 6th man? I think a lot of those questions still have to be answered. I think they know 3 guys and feel comfortable about 3 guys, but all in, I don't think they're anywhere near ready to make a decision yet, and I don't think they're going to allow themselves to be until probably Saturday night, Sunday morning.
All right, Jake, great stuff as always. We do appreciate it. Georgia, like we said, I know the fan base is excited about Elijah Moore, and I guess the Dogs, you said, are kind of the front runner for the receiver from Peach County this weekend, Kiaris Jackson. Is that right?
That's correct. I do believe they'll get Kiaris Jackson, and they're probably going to get four-star defensive end outside linebacker out of Marietta this week, Azeez Ojulari. He's ranked number 26 in the entire country for us overall, and is a top 200 guy in the composite. So he's a freak. He's a guy that's come up fast here over the summer, and a guy at a major position to need for Georgia, the pass rusher. So, you know, I believe Georgia, if everything goes right and they get Jackson, they get Ojulari, I believe that they move up to 22nd in the 247 Sports Recruit ranking. And if that's the case, that means they will have moved up 37 spots from where they were before they added Elijah Moore.
Interesting. And by the way, does the – you know, I've seen people starting to write columns or stories about the early signing period, you know, which we're going to be seeing – coming up, I guess, in December. Do you feel like, what's that going to be like, if you've got any thoughts on that?
Then they're going to, I mean, if you're a coach, you're going to sign as many guys as you can possibly sign during that period because, it makes for a much more, it makes for easier navigation come January when you're able to get back on the road and you know, kind of recruit guys, on the road, making home visits and stuff like that. I think it kind of takes some pressure off your coaching staff, but it also allows you to possibly get in there and make some appearances in some schools where there are some juniors and sophomores and show your face a little bit. Whereas you would be babysitting a signee that may be flirting with another school. So I think it's real big. You know, the second season always starts in January. I mean, you can kind of, you know, all bets are off at that point. Teams start, you know, throwing Hail Marys for guys at that point. So, you know, if you can kind of get more of the guys you can get locked in December, the better. And I think Georgia and Kirby Smart will sign as many guys as they possibly can. And I think it'll be a high number. They've done a really good job of getting guys who didn't really waver. Kirby bragged about that last year at National Signing Day, as well he should have. I think they had, you know, upwards of about 16 or 17 guys that didn't take another official visit other than UGA. So, you know, if they can do that again this year, that'll be big.
All right, Jake, thanks so much. Always great talking to you, and we'll catch you again next week.
All right, fellas, see you.
You're the man. Jake Rowe from Dogs247 and 247sports.com.